Love doesn't usually end with a big moment. It fades quietly in the things that we stop saying and the distance we don't even realize is growing. This is Talk with Audrey. Welcome back. We're so often taught how to fall in love, but rarely how to stay in love. Today's guest says relationships don't just fall apart, they follow patterns, and patterns that we often don't see until it's too late. Dr. Rami Geffner is a physician and author of 20 Reasons Why People Dump Each Other in Marriage. It's a practical guide to understanding why relationships fade and how to repair them. Dr. Geffner, welcome.
Thank you so much, and good morning to you all.
You say that love doesn't end with a bang, that it fades in whispers. What are those early whispers that people tend to ignore?
Well, it depends if you're a man or a woman, because we kind of relate a little bit differently to each other. And so if we want to speak about the commonalities of the first five reasons, we could discuss that. So for instance, one of the things that occurs between men and women is that women usually feel bad and hurt when they're unseen or unheard. So we might be in a conversation, but if you don't think I'm paying attention to you or listening to what you have to say, gee, it starts to bother you. So you want to know, like, what's with this guy? I mean, that's a lot of my love. He's not paying any attention. He's like drifted away. I'm like talking through him. I don't think he's connecting. So that's a big one. When a woman feels that, for instance, that's a real turnoff, irritating, and she needs to deal with that whole question. The next thing on her list is empathy. If you're telling me a story that's happy or sad, you want me to feel that, what you're feeling, because that increases the connection between the two of us. So connection is very important, and when you feel empathy, you feel connected. So you kind of put yourself into the moment and try to empathize with whoever's telling you whichever story. That's a big part of a connection. Now, if things become routine in a relationship, you know, usually in the beginning, it's not. There's a lot of excitement and joy and sparks flying all around. But once people tend to live together, they kind of take that for granted. And they stop saying the niceties of like, hey, good morning, how you feeling? Did you sleep well? Come here, sweetheart. Give me a kiss. Give me a hug. Touch my hand. Something. Awaken the senses that have been sleeping, for instance. Or when you pass each other in the hall, you know, most of the time you could go by. But, you know, how about a little hug or a little touch as you pass each other by? You got to spark it. Spark it. You got to put some electrical magic into that connection. So if you don't do that, you start feeling like roommates. And as George Clooney found out after he was married for a few years, he said, you know what? I'm beginning to feel like my wife's my roommate. That's a problem. I should do something about it. And so the dating began, the touching began, hello, the kiss, the hugs, the sparks. Because you don't want the person you live with who you're basically turned on to them in many different ways to feel that they're being ignored or just an object in the room. So when you go by them, they're not just a couch or a furniture. You touch them, feel them, say something. Let them respond back to you. See how they feel. And that's a very important item too. That brings us to communication. You know, I've heard a lot of women say to me, I don't think that my husband likes it when I speak to him. He kind of like ignores me because, or when he does, when I think he hears me, doesn't respond. So I'm just not sure whether he's heard me or hasn't because he's not responding. I need a response. I need to understand. I need to know what's going through his mind. So that's called communication. And that's an important item for a woman to to know that whoever she's speaking to is communicating back to her. So she's just, it almost goes back to the unheard, unseen kind of thing, but it's even greater than that. And then the fifth reason is, and I'm sure some of you have seen it or maybe have experienced it, usually two people who are involved with families and friends and children, et cetera, have different emotional things that come up. And when somebody feels overburdened by the fact that they're like carrying the major load, the major weight, they start wondering, is the person I'm in love with, why isn't he seeing it? Why isn't he helping me out? Why should I carry the load? So as a result, they become overburdened by that. That's a big one. So now I've explained the five reasons. Let me go over it. Unseen, unheard, not having the empathy in a conversation to feeling like a roommate, not being able to communicate well, or carrying unequal weights emotionally. Now let's go to the man. Are we ready for that?
Well, you know, I was wondering, I said to myself, so far he's only talking about women. Where does the man come in there? So, you know, what I think is interesting is that you mentioned that they're not secrets, that they're patterns that we live every day. Why don't people recognize them when they see them?
That's a great question. So if you read the book, what I'm trying to emphasize, it's what I call the air, A-I-R. You know, we breathe. Without breath, we can't live. The same thing with the air in our relationships. What does it stand for? It's an acronym. So AIR stands for A, for awareness. First of all, you have to be aware that something is going on. And once you're aware, it gives you all sorts of feelings. If you think this awareness needs to lead to change, then you got to address what needs to be done, which leads us into the I of the AIR, which stands for intention. So we have to say, hey, you know what? This isn't happening the way I expect to, or it doesn't make me feel good. So come on, let's do something about it. Aha, you've got the intent of making it better. And maybe even with the intent, you get a little bit ahead of yourself and say, you know, I think I know how to get going on changing this whole mood that we're into. So then you start discussing repair. And this is where the two of you start dealing with the issues that awareness brought, intending to make it better, and then repairing it. So when you ask me, how come people are not, that it goes by them? Because somebody is just not paying attention. In order to be aware of something, you got to pay attention, and needs to be important enough for you to realize that that relationship is number one, and you need to pay attention, because if you don't pay attention, it starts to drift away. And that's what we don't want to do. And that's the way that how we attack it. We have to realize and pay attention, and then we will find out the things that bother us.
All right. So, you know, it takes does two to tango. So the doctor already spoke about women and the things that they notice. Let's now bring in the other half of the relationship. It goes on in...
A big, big thing is a fella likes to feel appreciated. If he does something, he wants to hear some compliment. Hey, that was pretty cool. You did a great job. He wants to hear some sort of feedback for his toil, for his sweat and toil. He doesn't want to be really criticized, because that doesn't make him feel good. But if he's really working hard to do his best, hey, even if it's not up to snuff and you know about it, Roma, you know, an appreciation. Make her feel like just for trying, he did a great job. And then you get somebody else to fill in for that job if it's a task that is not of his expertise. So appreciation for a man is like number one. Number two is big time. And I actually wrote a whole book about this called the How to Keep Your Man, The Biology and Rhythm of Sexual Desire. Mm-hmm. In that book, I explained the relationship between two people and the awareness that they need to have, that it basically creates a rhythm within them and between the two of them, basically trying to understand the role of hormones and what effects hormones have on certain needs and functionalities. So the big second one discusses the need for physical affection and also intimacy. Not to say that physical does not absolutely equate to emotional, but men tend to express a lot of their emotion through the physicality, through the touch, through the sensuality. A lot of men lack word of romance, and they try to express themselves in ways that they know. One of the big ones is physical intimacy. It's not to be taken lightly because in it, there's expression of emotion. And so the lack of does not allow the person to express the emotionality through the physical. You know, when you you spend time with someone you really care about, if you don't feel that emotional closeness, but rather emotional coldness or distance, that's a big one too. I mean, you start feeling like, who's this guy? I mean, I'm not being registered. And not only not being registered, I feel very like distant from them. I feel like they're cold to me. That doesn't take a lot of awareness. It takes almost minimal awareness to know that, to realize it, to become aware, and to try to change that and speak about it and see, how do we get it back together? Why do we lose that emotionality? How did this distance be created? What caused that distance to be created? Let's talk about it. Tell me how you feel about it. So that's like number three on my list.
As I said, you know, and you certainly know that it takes two to tango. When it comes to repairing the relationship, what does that look like?
What I've tried to do is explain some of these errors in relationships in my book. And the repair is based on dialogue. You know, dialogue allows you to communicate, to express feelings, to understand and deal with things. So in my book, what I do is I try to show examples by showing two people communicating with each other before awareness, and then becoming aware about what's going on. And then I describe what they should be doing about it. And then it's followed by a dialogue that's totally different that showed that, hey, we became aware and our intent was to repair it. And we did that. And this is how we did it. And now we're speaking a different language, a language that is corroborative, on the same level, on the same desire that we want to be at. You know, a lot of people don't have the tools to deal with even the dialogue. I mean, I learned, look, I had huge practices, and I met a lot of people, and I was very close to a lot of people. And I found out that a lot of people had the lack of insight as to how to speak about it. Like, what do you say first? Because they're afraid of saying the wrong thing, for instance, or bringing that up, you know, for lack of like what the response would be from the opposite partner, you know. And it takes courage to face reality, even if that reality means that's going to be challenged by your thought process. So awareness involves a lot of courage to deal with something that's bothering you and not sweep it under the carpet until it accumulates in layers and layers. That's why if you go back to, you know, the first quote that you spoke about, it doesn't happen after one fight. It's an accumulation of layers and layers of things that have been untested, unspoken, not communicated, not dealt with, being aware but not having the courage to deal with it, and just hoping and wishing that it's going to get better over time. But you know, nothing without some energy changes. And if you don't put that energy and the willingness to deal with it, it's just not going to get better.
I also say that relationships don't end because love disappears, but because understanding does. What happens between a couple when empathy fades?
Well, I'll give you one of the problems that people face in a relationship. Basically, usually what happens is if you don't feel that somebody really understands you and feels with you, you're not going to bring up any things because you're going to hesitate. You're going to say to yourself, why should I? He's not going to listen. She's not going to listen. What's the purpose? What's the reason? I need someone to hear me. I need someone to say, to feel sorry with me, to feel sad with me, to feel happy with me, to feel whatever the feeling is. You are my partner. Shouldn't we feel that way for each other? Should we not grieve together or be happy together? That type of stuff, you know? And I'll give you another one. When people divorce, after the horrible things and the anger and the sorrow goes away, you know, they end up saying to each other, I still love them. I just can't live with them. So love, you know, the big question is love enough? Is love good enough to sustain relationships?
Well, is it? Is love good
enough? Well, let me tell you something. And that was something that I've thought about for many, many years. And the answer is, love is a big ingredient in a relationship. Without love, you can't have a relationship. But love is not by itself sufficient to maintain a good and healthy relationship. And that's the catch. So just because you're in love, and I say, I love you, and you say, you love me, is great. And without it, we can't have anything. And it's a big ingredient. But without all these other things that I speak about, our relationship is not going to be a happy one. And that's what this is all about, to help people learn the tools of communication. And hopefully by doing that and getting the public involved in it, maybe we could just decrease the divorce rates. Maybe we decrease the problems that families have when there's like disconnect in the family. This is my mission. It's the most important mission in the world, because you know what? Without relationships of whatever kind, whether they're romantic or marriage or professional, we really have nothing. We have nothing.
Well, that also means that it's going to take someone to come forward, right? And for somebody who's listening or watching right now and feeling that distance, what's the one thing that they can do today to reconnect?
Go over to whoever you feel distant from and take their hand in your hand and look into each other's eyes and tell them what you feel, especially when the feelings are great. And if they're not so great, tell them you'd like to work on getting them better. Just do it. Forget all the anger and anguish or blame or all those negative feelings. Just throw them away. And for a few minutes of your life, just let them loose, because negative energy doesn't lend itself for a great relationship. It's useless energy that's sucking up your energy and doing nothing for your relationship. So just get rid of that negative energy. Just say to yourself, I'm going to take the high road. I'm getting rid of this negative energy, and I'm put away this feeling of distance, and I'm going to approach the person I'm with, take his hand, give him a hug, and say, you know what? I love you. Let's talk. Understand we have some issues. Let's deal with them. And do it in a nice way, in a nice tone, in a caring tone, in a loving tone.
So do you find, Doctor, that in a heterosexual relationship, which is what we're talking about exclusively right now, is it the woman who initiates some sort of reconciliation?
Oh, no.
Or does the man play in?
No, I am looking at the patterns of human behavior, pending that there's love, pending that there's chemistry, pending that there is desire, no matter what the sexes are, gender neutral, because someone usually takes the lead, but someone doesn't always take the lead. There's never and never and never and always. So it doesn't matter whether it's a heterosexual or homosexual. It's a relationship between two people of whatever gender, because we all have feelings. All of us have feelings. And just like you said, you know, it takes two to tango. It doesn't matter what A and B are. They both have feelings, and they both, I think they, if they were not happy, they would both try to change that.
Mm.
Yeah.
You also emphasize presence over perfection. Why is that so important?
Well, you know what? In every relationship, whether it's a parental relationship with children or a relationship between two people, presence is important. And let me say that presence leads to time. And I say that if you don't have time, you should not be involved. Involvement in a relationship requires time because communication requires time. Love requires time. Showing affection requires time. There's nothing that does not require time. So that's the reason I like absolutely. And if there's, so if you find out that there's a problem and you don't have the time, you need to prioritize that time to that relationship, and you need to take that time away from other things that you're doing. Whether you're working 14 hours a day to make ends leaving, or you have hobbies that you just love to do, if you don't put that time into the communication, understanding, agreements, compromises, all of which are required in relationships, you are not going to have that relationship. Because without time, there's nothing there either.
You're so, right about that. Absolutely.
You got to prioritize time. I know. And you know what? People are so stressed out these days because they're like, I equate it to like we're on a fast moving train and we want to get off the train and it's moving so fast. And we say, how can we get off the train? Because if we get off the train, it's moving fast, something's going to happen. But you know what? You got to slow that train down. And society has become so demanding of our time and our presence that we take that from the things which are most dear to us, the most dear to us, and we put it into things that are just not as special as, you know, many times when people divorce, they often look back and try to figure out what went wrong. Presence is one of the top priorities of a relationship. Because without time, you can't do anything.
So true. Wow. Yeah. If love can fade quietly, it can also be rebuilt intentionally. A lot of things to think about there. Where can we go to learn more and get a copy of your book?
All my books are on Amazon. I also have a website, regeffner.com. So this is what I do. I've devoted my life now to the mission of relationships, and it's so important. It moves me.
Life is all about relationships, guys. So, Dr. Geffner, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
No, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure. This is Talk with Audrey. I'm Audrey Adams. Don't forget, stay informed, stay empowered. I'll be right back.